Christmas. Christmas Eve, huh? Light snow outside. It's nice. Not too bad. And I'm just glad to have you here. And just have some special music prepared for you this evening as we, again, just continue our celebration of the Lord's birth. And it's more than a celebration of the Lord's birth. It's when you celebrate Jesus Christ, it's the time to celebrate everything about Jesus Christ. His birth, his teachings, his death and resurrection, which was for us, since we can't save ourselves, and even his future return, which is coming someday, could be today. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to our musicians. Father, thank you again for this time of celebration. And Lord, we truly are thankful for a Merry Christmas, because it truly is merry and happy when it is celebrated in the true spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ. May this be a time of blessing as we listen to the music. Think of the words, the truth that is being sung or played, as the case may be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when you see your name on the screen, you're up, okay?
Thank you.
It's okay.
Certain years shall come the time. that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lord.
Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding
is the great
song. It's one of my favorites. You all have been doing just so well. We have a lot to be thankful for, and I've been reminded recently of what God says about what the true practice of our faith is. That is faith in Jesus Christ, the fact that he saves us from our sins, but he saves us to serve, not to sit. It says in James chapter 1, verse 26, he uses the word religion to refer to the practice of faith, the practice of saving faith. And he says, or verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, to practice faith in Christ, if you're saved, born again, having trusted in his death and resurrection, is the only means to be spared from the penalty of sin, be spared from eternal hell, to have eternal life with God. If you've trusted Christ alone, you're saved. And you're in a position to practice and serve, practice your faith and serve. And James says that faith comes out in the things you do. Visiting those who are in need, helping others. And, you know, even those who are truly born-again believers can forget that, especially in our country. where we do have a lot of stuff. We are wealthy, aren't we? We have a lot of things. And you know that if you've ever moved. I mean, how many of you have been in your home so long that the idea of moving terrifies you because of what you'd have to go through? I know the feeling. I've been there. I'm not saying we should necessarily feel guilty about that. We ought to be thankful to God that we have the freedom and the comforts that we do have in our nation. But we also ought to remember that it's just stuff. It's just things. And Jesus Christ is the greatest possession you could ever have. Because unlike this other stuff, you don't lose it. So I've got this poem here I want to read to you called "'Twas the Fight Before Christmas." "'Twas the fight before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was speaking. They were all in the doghouse. The stockings were hung from the chimney with care, but no happy faces could be found anywhere. The children were sprawled out on top of their beds, with echoes of, "Give me that!" ringing in their heads. Ma in her flannels and I in my ball cap had just about had it with this family's big spat. When out on the lawn I did hear a faint patter, I got up from the couch to see what was the matter. Away to the window I walked cautiously and opened the vertical blind so slowly. The moon shone above the new-fallen snow, giving hazy antiqueness to objects below. Then what to my tired old eyes did appear but a vision of the Christ child with his family near. With a glance at their surroundings of hay and of sticks, I decided immediately, this family needs a fix. More rapid than eagles, I flew up the stairs and whistled and shouted and called without flair. "Hey, Matthew, Tyler, Madison, too. Hey, honey, come down here. Yes, Fido, you too. To the top of the stairs, to the short landing wall. Now, everyone, everyone, get down here, all." So to the staircase, the children all slumped with their scowls and their frowns and their faces a grump. And then with twinkling eyes, I did say, "Children, now listen, tomorrow's a birthday." I've had it with video games, movies, and clothes. I've had it with fighting about whose thing is whose. Our lives, mine included, are too much about things. We've forgotten the joy that the Lord Jesus brings. It's his birthday tomorrow, not yours, yours, or yours. We've forgotten to choose a gift for our Lord. So ideas, ideas, we must think of one quick for his birthday's tomorrow, not jolly old Nick's. Little Matthew spoke first, his face somber and sad. "I think I have a gift. Just a minute, Dad." Then Matthew came back with his most favorite bear. "How do I give it to Jesus? Just throw it in the air?" "No, no, little Matthew, come on over, sit here. To give it to Jesus, we give to those who are near." Then Tyler spoke up. "Hey, Matt, what about Joy? I'll bet she would like them. She doesn't have many toys." Matt hugged his dear bear, then looked at me with glee. "Give him to her at church, Dad. She need not know it's from me." Madison spoke not a word, but went straight to her room and brought her Christmas dress of beige and maroon. "Well, there's a new girl at church. We've made fun of her clothes. She comes on the church bus. I think her name's Rose." Tyler sprang to his feet. To his room did he fly. He came back with a video in his hand he held high. "Over this did we fight and caused all these burrs." Handing it to his sister, he said, "Madison, it's yours." Well, Dad and Mom smiled, and the kids did too. They needed this reminder of Christmas anew. Dad then tucked the children in bed for the night, and were all nestled and snug. Their hearts were alight. But each heard Dad whisper as he climbed down the stairs, "Merry Christmas, Lord Jesus. May your love we share." Praise God that we have the greatest gift. And it's fun to open presents, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the greatest present is Jesus Christ, the little boy child who didn't stay a child, who grew to die and didn't stay dead. He rose and he lives and he won't stay away. He'll come back because he is, after all, the King of Kings and he loves us. Keep that in mind as you hear this next piece.
as a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? And how many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn down from their thrones. How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did.
New to you? I hope it becomes a regular. I love Isaiah 9, and I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, I'll read it to you. Isaiah 9:6. We often read this at Christmas time. It's a prophetic passage of scripture written several hundred years before Christ actually was born on earth. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We read it at Christmas because it talks about the birth of the boy child. But that verse has so much more than that. It also speaks of him as being called the Counselor. It has the idea of him being the mediator between us and God the Father. He makes it possible for us to have peace with God. He's called Wonderful. He is called Mighty God. Everlasting. He is the Prince of Peace because he brings salvation to this world. This talks about not only the Lord's birth, folks. That verse covers the whole gamut. It also talks about the fact that he is the Savior, that he's coming back again to establish his government on earth. That's the millennial kingdom and beyond. This passage of Scripture covers everything that Christ came to do and will yet do. There's an awful lot of titles in that verse of Scripture. And when we think of all these titles of him, did you know that beauty is also found in the Old Testament, referring to Jesus Christ and his holiness? 1 Corinthians 16:29. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Holiness is a beautiful thing. 2 Corinthians 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 29, 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And Psalm 96, 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. This song we're going to sing isn't an old song. We often sing it at Christmas. It was only written in 1980, as far as Christmas songs go. That's actually a pretty young song. But it sure captures the power of Psalm 9, verses 6 and 7. So why don't we all try singing this, okay? If you don't know this, it's pretty easy. We'll sing it twice, back to back, and you'll pick it up pretty fast. A very Merry Christmas. Go home and enjoy the Lord with your family, will you? God bless.